As I said, just a small historical note about the letter of James. As I've said, some scholars believe this is just a Jewish document that's been kind of stuck into the canon, accepted into the canon of the New Testament. And no less a personage and scripture scholar than Father Martin Luther said it was a Strawy, S-T-R-A-W-Y. It's the first time I've ever seen that word, a Strawy epistle, because it talks about the necessity of works. No, it's by faith alone, sola fide, one of the great battle cries of the Reformation. So Martin was prepared to just kick it out of the canon. It didn't fit with his theology. Well, we all do that kind of stuff. This passage from Mark, I think, is enormously important because it points to one of the two places in the life of the church, I believe, and have for years, where the church has massively failed, namely to deal with poverty and to deal with the cross. Or we can wave a banner with a picture of Francis of Assisi or Dorothy Day and say, here's one of ours, here's one of ours. But then they're simply as tokens, you know. The rest of us can safely hide behind a shadow. Because they took poverty and the cross very seriously. So I'd like to try to say something sensible about the cross in the life of the church. Even at the time of the writing of the New Testament, the first century, you find what might reasonably be called evasive movements. The cross was, as Paul will say, the scandal. A scandal. Why? Because the Messiah, a stock figure in Jewish lore, was a king. Kings don't suffer. Kings go around beating everybody on the head who they want to get to obey him. They certainly don't suffer. And so we have in the New Testament itself a number of moves which seem to me evasive. We either say, as Luke does continuously, well, this is all in God's mind right from the beginning, so we don't have to worry about it, it's all fixed up. Or we owe to our good Southern Baptist friends and the Gospel of John the notion of being born again. See, if you're born again, there's several important concepts. You can't sin. You can't get unborn. And that's exactly Southern Baptist theology. That's why they smile all the time. Blessed assurance, Jesus is theirs. You know, they're home free, you know? It simplifies life massively. But in the Gospels, there are several other moves. As I said, with Luke, it's saying, well, God knew this was going to happen. God wanted this to happen. God planned for this to happen. So there you are, full stop. End of story. And then we have extrinsicized, I think, the cross by saying, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. Well, if Jesus died for us, then it's all finished, isn't it? I remember the first year I taught 300 years ago in a high school in Illinois, and I was teaching freshman religion. And this little sweet-faced youth, in answer to a question that I placed, do you think Jesus was having a good time when he was dying? And my friend Bruce Niebuhr, he put up his hand and said, yeah, he was having a good time because he knew he was dying for me. I thought, well, that's very inventive. I confess I was somewhat taken aback. But again, it's something that happens to me. I'm a non-participant. Or we make it inevitable. Or we trivialize it. Oh, I smashed my thumb with a hammer. That's my cross, I guess. Or we do the reverse, which is equally sick, I believe. That you invite pain. Pain is good. If you're suffering, it must be good. If you're suffering, it must be good. Suffering is good. You're participating in the cross, you know. So you wear little nail belts around your waist and beat yourself. And that's fairly useless, too. The problem being that none of this touches me. I'm on the outside of all this stuff. The hymn that it's a spiritual I chose to play after communion today is Fix Me, Jesus, Fix Me. And that doesn't mean some kind of casual repair, you know. That means a radical reversion from the kind of life I'm living, from the kind of self I am. But notice the process. You have to know that you need fixing before you're going to even ask to be fixed. So, where do we stand? I think we are somewhat bereft. Because we live in a society and in a culture where success is utterly desirable, and success means perpetual happiness, absence of pain, no difficulties, you know, clear the way and coming through. You see this all over the place. It's a mantra for healthy child rearing today, I think. Their little psyches can't be damaged, you know. Even if they tear up the house and light the dog on fire and, you know, crash the car. No, he's just experimenting. Or she's just trying out her wings. I mean, those are extreme examples, of course, but I've seen evidences of that when I was teaching at King's. Parents would come in angry, furiously angry, because their little darling didn't get an A in the course. Well, what do you do with something like that? So what do we do with pain? What do we do with suffering? Because, as I said, we live in a culture that excludes us, positively excludes us. You want a pain-free life, and that's a success. It's in advertising, it's in all kinds of movies, it's in literature, it's all over the bloody place. We are not equipped mentally, psychologically, to accept pain, much less give it some kind of meaning. So where does the cross hit us? In our hearts. It's Fix Me, Jesus. I need fixing. And the fixing is not going to be a pleasant process. Because it means that something in me, who I am at my core, must die. It just sounds ferocious. Fierce. But that's what it says in the gospel. That's what it said in Mark today. Unless you lose your life, you will not find it. So my project, which I've been eminently unsuccessful, is to try to figure out where I need to fix it. Oh, project, you're all right. You're okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. So I don't think of my impatience. I don't think of my cowardice. I don't think of my dishonesty. Well, that's all standard procedure. Everybody lies. We all know everybody lies. Everybody's afraid. Well, those are the parts that need fixing. A substitution of courage for cowardice, of honesty for lying. And you get the opposite number of all of the devices. Patience for impatience. And so everybody has to do an inventory of themselves. But you see, it's a totally interior process. It has exterior manifestations, of course. You don't put cyanide in the kid's soup, we hope. But it has to originate from inside. I mean, the letter of James is getting at that, too. You know? Well, I have faith. I don't need works. Well, that's great to fob this thing off. And this is pure speculation, but I've been wondering about our Protestant sisters and brothers, why they don't have a corpus, a body, on the crosses. They got crosses all over. We have crosses all over, too. But normally, the Catholic version of the cross is with a body, a dead body hanging there. Which is certainly closer to the fact, closer to the truth. Because Jesus is not going to fix anybody who does not want to be fixed. Jesus is not going to do anything except encourage us to grow up, to become more free, to be less hag-ridden by our vices or our habits, which are not useful often enough. So that's why people, I mean, this is very strong. The Greek is ferociously strong. Get behind me, Satan. He rebuked him. It's a very strong Greek word. So Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter represents all of us, I think. You know? And then Jesus takes him apart and said, listen, your head's in the wrong place. Your heart's in the wrong place. You're messing up big time. It does not mean that we go out and wear crowns of thorns on our heads. But we live from a depth and interiority of self-awareness, of the capacity to self-criticize, not to damn, but certainly to distinguish what is good in us and what is not so good in us. So that's what, and that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the cross impinges, really. So it's not something outside, it's not something from above, it's not something destined by God from all eternity. It's the regular daily drama of getting up and saying, who are you really, Trojak? What do you really want? What are you really afraid of? All of that whole catalog of questions that we need regularly to rehearse, I think, for ourselves.